life, that no one can come to the Father, no one can get to heaven but through you alone. And Lord, I'm thankful that I know that I put my trust in you, that there's a lot of people here who have, perhaps there's some who have never done that yet, never come to know you as the way, the truth, and the real meaning of life, that these next few weeks you would penetrate their heart and prick their heart and help them to know their need of you. Just make it a great time together. Help us not get tired of the verse, but to understand the truth in it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Go on to the next one, Julie, if you would. And I'm getting feedback on myself. Is it too loud for you guys? It just seems like it's... Julie, if you could just turn me down just a little bit. I hate hearing myself anyway. But John 14:6, it's a very familiar verse. And Jesus said to him, we're not going to need to memorize that, but that's be important here in the first message as we get to it. But I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Something I have tried years and years ago. I learned this in Bible college, and I remember a professor telling us to do this, is when I come to a particular verse that I want to really concentrate on, is to read it through however many times there are words in the verse. So in other words, you do it this way, and you emphasize a different word each time you read it through. And I'm going to ask you to do that every day. Read it through 18, 21 times. I had 21, and I'm not sure if it's, I haven't recounted it, because I was going to have you do, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But that's how I would like you to read it through when you come to it. But how you do that is, as you quietly get before the Lord, read it this way: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And go through it like way. And emphasize, every time you read through it, emphasize the very next word. So start with I, then you move to M as you read through it again. And let that, over the next month, really penetrate your heart. And we're going to look at those first three words each week, at least the first 3 weeks, as we look at the I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And the last Sunday, we're going to look at no one comes to the Father but through me. But this morning, we're going to look at, it's in your notes, I am the way. And I want you to read that through and really accept that challenge of reading it through, emphasizing a different word each time you read through it. So, Julie, if you go to the next one, I. That's the first word. It's in the verse Jesus said to him, but it says, I am the way. We're going to see this month that Christianity is more than just a set of beliefs. It's more than a code of conduct. It's more than a book of doctrine. It is all about Christ. I got a message last night from a girl that went through our youth group and really loves the Lord, a great singer. So she said she was going to try to be here with her husband and daughters this morning. And I told her I was leaving, that we wouldn't be able to have dinner with them, but to try to come some other time. But Erica was a girl. She went, and I was thinking of this last night. Erica went to one of our conferences with us, with Dare to Share. And she was really touched by this point that all the worship, they said, there's a lot of different performers up here, and Erica being a performer, her husband, or a singer, her husband is a band director in a high school, very much into music, and she just said it was so refreshing to hear a group talk about it. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us as performers. It's not about us singing, but it's all about Christ, and that's what we want to remind ourselves of this week, is every time we read that word I, it is Christ. It's Christ who says that in this verse. It's Christ who says I in verse 6, the perfect, the loving, the eternal, the sinless Son of God, the Savior of the world, is the one who was equally present with the Father, eternally present and eternally equal with God the Father, but he's the Son. And next one, Julie. And by saying the word I, he eliminates every other person. Go back one. There should be another point there. He eliminates all others who would ever have any kind of a claim to authority. When Jesus says, I am the way, when he says I, he eliminates anyone else. That means every other religious person whoever said that I am the way to heaven. I was just, again, thinking this week as I was praying about this message, just thinking about all the different people in my lifetime who claimed to be God. And I can't remember the guy's name. Maybe some of you do. but he was talking about he was God, and that he was going to take all those followers at the end of the meteor shower. Do you remember that? This was probably back in the late 80s, early 90s, when the Halley's Comet was coming through. He was going to take all of his followers up on the tail of the comet. Well, you know what? They're all still here. The comet went by, and all those believers or all those followers of his found themselves still awake, still here on earth. They were disappointed. Think of Jim Jones, the person who claimed to be the Messiah, and all the others who come to mind who claimed that they had the authority of God. When Jesus said, I, he eliminated all future and all past ones who would claim to be the Messiah. And he says, it is the first person singular. That's just the Greek word, meaning it's the first person singular, that it, I alone. That's what Jesus is saying. And we're going to review this each week. So keep in mind, we're going to review I. We're going to do the next one, Julie. I am. This means that he exists in the now. Next one, Julie. M is significant on any timeline in history, no matter when a person lives. A person could live 2,000 years ago, and the word M was significant to them. A person, if the Lord doesn't come back in 20 years, a person alive in 2034, as they read this verse, they're going to say, I am. It's important to them at that point. I am at this very moment alive, I am reigning, and I am in control. I am. Julie, next, if you would. The. I am the. How many options are left when someone says the pew? I'm at the pew, or I am at the church, or I am having the pizza. Right? This is the rose. How many different options are open when someone says the? When Jesus says it, he's saying, I am the one and only. Julie, the next one, if you would. He's just saying there's nothing else out there. I am the one and only. There aren't multiple thes. I was thinking, if you ever watch football games, you ever watch the NFL, they always give introductions of the players. They kind of show their position on the defensive line or offensive line or quarterback or whoever it is. And they kind of give them a little 5 or 6 second blurb, and the guys will say, yeah, I'm a defensive tackle from the Miami Hurricanes or the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Penn State Nittany Lions. They're saying that their college is the most important when it's the best. And when Jesus comes along and says it, Jesus is saying the very same thing. I am the one and only. I am the best. So I am the Julie, the next one is the way. We're going to spend the remainder of our time on this word. And I said that the first couple words Jesus said to him is important because this entire response goes back to verse 5 in John chapter 14 when Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas, asked the question, how do we know the way? Thomas wasn't convinced that Jesus had all the answers. So he asks this honest question, how do we know the way? And Jesus is saying that unlike John, I'm not just one who's pointing the way, not like John the Baptist. John showed the way. Jesus is saying, I am personally the way. There's no other place to go, no other way to get around it. No person, no religion, no activity, no memorizing the scriptures. Nothing can get us to heaven, only Jesus. The Greek word way is from the word hodos, and it means progress, it means a route, an action or journey on a highway. The other night, as we gave the invitation to the kids at the fifth quarter, I spoke about the voice of God and started off talking about a scrimmage line on football. There's a lot of noise, but the center happened to be there. The quarterback happened to be there. I didn't realize they were brothers. But the quarterback was there, and his brother's a center for the team. And I said, does a center happen to be here? And he raised his hand. And the quarterback, I wouldn't have known him anyway, but he had a jacket on. And I said, it's a quarterback, and he raised his hand. So I said, most coaches tell their players to watch the football. Don't listen to all the noise on the line of scrimmage because it would mess you up. And I said, guys, is that true? Is there a lot of talking and yelling and name-calling on the line of scrimmage? He said, oh, it was terrible. And they were talking about the team that they played the other night being very unsportsmanlike and not the best type of players to be across from. But we kind of came to that, and I said, there's many voices calling for us in the world. The center needs to hear the quarterback's voice. There's all kinds of voices calling to us. Some say you're not any good. You have no hope. Yeah, your parents are divorcing, but, you know, they were fine until you came into their lives. You're the reason for divorce. And we kind of just hit all these things about things that teens might be hearing. And then we came to the voice of God. And I said, I'm going to promise you that the voice of God is speaking to everyone in the room here. God's voice speaks to everyone. It's up to us to hear it. And I said, I don't want you to listen to me, because I don't want people thinking they prayed a prayer that this pastor felt because I was up in front, looked authoritative because I had the Bible in my hand. I said, I want you to ask God to remove every voice, including mine. And I just want you to say, God, if you really do love me, let me hear from you. Let me know that it's you that's telling me you love me and you want to change me. I didn't want them mistaking a commitment that they were about to raise their hand saying, "Why? Well, I prayed the prayer with that guy." Or, you know, and a lot of kids do that. A lot of young people say, "Why? I think I asked the Lord in my heart back in VBS when I was 4 years old, and I don't remember what happened, but I remember the Sunday school teacher or VBS teacher told me that I had prayed." So they don't remember what they did. I want the young people Friday night to understand that it wasn't my voice that they heard. It was the voice of God, and that's what Jesus is saying. I am the way. It doesn't matter what kind of religion, doesn't matter what kind of church you go to. If you come through Jesus Christ alone, if you come through me, my atonement, my intervention is the only way that you can reach heaven. Proverbs 16:25 is a verse that we should all memorize and know. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man. A way that seems right to a man. But the end is the way of death. Two times he mentions way. There's a way that seems right, but in the end, that way leads to death. If I were to give you directions to the Xingwangdao English University in China, where we taught two or three times, and I gave you specific, not that I could do it, because I never drove it. I've ridden in a bus each time I've gone. But if I gave you specific directions from Beijing Airport, northeast 3 hours, to the Xingwangdao English University, it probably wouldn't matter to you. You probably would say, who cares where the Xingwangdao, I can't even say it, let alone drive to it. Who cares where that university in China is? I'm probably never, ever, ever going to go. You know, the only time directions are of any value to us is when we are heading toward a specific destination. When you talk to people about the way to heaven, a lot of times they don't care. A lot of times I don't care about heaven. I don't care. I'm content in this life. I'm content. I'd rather go to hell because all my friends are going to be there. I've asked if any of you have ever heard that statement before. I've heard it multiple times over the years in ministry. All my friends are going to be there. It's going to be one big party. I don't care about the way to heaven. The only time that directions are important to someone is when they want to get to that destination. See, there's a lot of attractive religions, a lot of attractive teachings out in the world, but there's only one way to God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. All the other ways are products of man, and according to this verse, they all lead directly to hell. When I ask you to turn your Bibles, we're going to spend the rest of our time in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 10. And there's 4 points that we want to look at as we wrap up this message this morning. Speaks about the highway. And what can we learn about this road that we travel on the way to heaven? Verse 8, Isaiah 35, and it says, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. Julie, next screen. A highway of holiness, the unclean will never travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. Point number one, it's a highway of holiness. The highway of holiness. That's the name of the road that we as followers of Christ, that we as Christians, we travel. It's the highway of holiness. As I was preparing this message, I started working on this series and even my Christmas series back in the beginning of October because I didn't have to preach each week with the missions conference. And I was just talking to a number of people and just hearing some things that people were going through. And it almost seemed, rather than a highway of holiness, it seemed more like a turnpike of turmoil or turnpike of trouble, turnpike of tension. There are times when the road that we're on seems anyway but holy. We go through difficult times. It seems that the roadway is always littered with filth, with anything but holiness. But we need to keep in mind this next point, Julie, next one, is that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was you and I. We were lost when we first got on this highway of holiness. And as we begin to walk with God, as we begin to learn about Christ, as we spend time in his word, we begin to discard some of that trash that we've been carrying as Christians. The moment we came to Christ, we weren't made perfect, were we? In God's sight, we're righteous, and he looks at us through the blood of his son, but man, every one of us as travelers, we're still carrying baggage that's wrong. We're still carrying stuff that weighs us down, and that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying, lay aside all the encumbrances which lay me down, and I want to run the race. But we need to keep in mind that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And as the lost begin to grow in Christ, they begin to get rid of some of this baggage that they have. And sometimes it's obstacles in our way. Sometimes there's trash that's there. But I want to tell you, even as a pastor, I am just so thankful that God called me. He didn't tell me, Ron, you've got to get rid of all this baggage. You've got to be perfect. You've got to know my word completely from Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelation. You've got to pray at all times. You've got to be a perfect child of God before you can start walking on the highway. Aren't you grateful that God allows us to walk and then teaches us so that we can get rid of that baggage? Aren't you glad he didn't say, unload everything before you get on the highway? The highway of holiness is where we begin to grow, is where we as sinners get to know Christ better. Someone said this, the sinner could never come to Christ, but God in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, came to sinners. I love that. The sinner could never come to God, but God in the person of his son came to sinners. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save. They couldn't have found their way to Christ on their own. They wouldn't have wanted to. Most people don't care about looking for Christ. But I want to ask you this morning, are you struggling with obstacles along your highway? As you walk with Christ today, are you struggling with things? Perhaps it's bitterness. Perhaps it's lust. Perhaps it's gossip, immorality. Perhaps it's pornography, resentments, lies, hatred toward God. You blame God for some of the things that are going on in your life. Perhaps you blame others. You need to understand that it's very real obstacles along this highway, but God always provides a way to avoid them. God always provides a way around them, and we need to confess our weakness to him as we begin to stumble. As sometimes we see someone else had dropped a bag over here that they were carrying, and that kind of looks tempting to us. Maybe I'll pick that bag up and carry it myself. We need to confess to the Lord that there are things that tempt us. And as Christians, things that we pick up that we shouldn't be picking up. And as we walk this highway of holiness, we need to understand Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. And as you walk down this highway of holiness, make sure you're only discarding stuff. You're never picking things up. Because the only thing that's laying on the highway of holiness is trash that other people are getting rid of. Don't pick up someone else's trash. Okay, it's a highway of holiness. Number two. Julie, next one, highway of safety, verses 8 and 9. We've already read verse 8. It says at the end, the unclean will not travel on it, but will be for him who walks that way, and fools will never wander on it. Verse 9, no lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. don't know if you've ever been on a road as you traveled that took you through a very undesirable neighborhood, a place where it just didn't seem safe. There was a street in Reading when we ministered there years ago, and the police warned drivers to always be alert. There was this one particular block of maybe an eighth of a mile downtown Reading, and they said, if someone stops in front of you, make sure you leave enough space to get around them. If you have an accident on this road, if someone runs into you from behind, make sure you drive down at least a block or two before you get out of your car. There were people looking to not only hurt you, but to rob you and to kill you. And perhaps you've looked at the highway that we're traveling here as Christians, and you think, man, sometimes it just seems like it's so totally unsafe. It just seems like everything around me is happening. But you look at these verses, and you see the things that God protects us from, those who are out to hurt us, those who are out to kill us, evil-hearted people. He calls them fools. He calls them lions. And he says there's a lot of potential danger on this, but he said, I've kept it away from you. I am keeping you safe. I am keeping you safe as you walk this highway of holiness, this highway of safety. Perhaps this morning you deal with guilt. That's something that just seems to always be attacking you. Perhaps it's sorrow. Perhaps it's bitterness. But I want you to know that nothing can harm you when you're under the watchful eye of God. Nothing can touch you that you're guarded by this tremendous legion of angels that God permits to surround you in your life. No matter what obstacles are in the way, God promises us safe travel if we follow Him. I've heard of missionaries, and probably you have as well. I've had some friends who've gone to some difficult places. A fellow I went to Bible college with served in Turkey for years, and Turkey was very, very torturous towards Christians, and his name was put on TV as a missionary, and he ended up having to leave eventually because of just being so unsafe for him. But I remember he came to our church in Reading, and then we had him up in Corning during one of his furloughs, and someone asked him, don't you feel bad about taking your kids to such a dangerous place as Turkey, that Christians are hated, that Christians can be killed? His name was Steve Schneider, and I remember Steve saying this, and again, I've heard other missionaries say this, I would rather be in the center of turmoil, knowing that I'm in the will of God, than anywhere else in the world that people consider safe if I'm outside the will of God. Because the safest place, no matter where it is in the world, is in the will of God. I want to remind you this morning that nothing can touch you apart from the loving and gracious hand of God that doesn't come from His will and from His permission. It's safer in the center of God's will than anywhere else in the world. It's a highway of safety. Number three, Julie, the highway of believers. Verse 10, it says, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. And when he talks about this whosoever, he's talking about whoever wants to. I've come to seek and to save the lost, and whoever will trust me can travel this highway. The whoever means just that. We can only come on this highway through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's going to be no sin on the highway of holiness, therefore no sinners, but there's going to be people getting rid of trash along the way. And only those who have placed their trust in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ can travel this highway. It's open to anyone who wants to be a follower of Christ and part of His church and part of His bride, but it's closed to everyone else. When I was out in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, we rented a car, and I didn't take a GPS or anything, and Cameron used his phone, but traffic was terrible. You know, we joked all the time about it being just like Wellsboro when the gas trucks are here. That was complete, joking around with that. Obviously, the traffic was terrible. Cameron said they would often go, and they just allow an extra half hour to 45 minutes driving, just even 5 to 10 miles. Everything from where Cameron lived, he lives in Van Nuys, whether it was the Hollywood, going to the Hollywood sign or going to Universal Studios or wherever we went, it was all 12 to 15 miles. And it would usually take us anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. Next point, Julie, if you would. But as we traveled along the road, there was usually five lanes in each of the highways we went. That's just high volume. And it was just bumper to bumper, as far as you could see, 2 or 3 miles in each direction. But over in the far left lane, there was high occupancy lane. Now, you would think high occupancy would be 4 drivers or more. It was for 2. You had to have at least 2 people in your car to drive that. And there was a couple times when Cameron said, look, Dad, there's nobody in that lane. And there was nobody driving in this far left lane. And I started to get over once, and I just said to him, I said, I wonder why no one's driving on that road. It's open to everyone, but these people from California aren't driving in it. And we went a few miles, and it just dawned on me, and I said, you know why? Because all the exits are to the right. Every exit you want to get off, they didn't have any left-hand exits. All the exits were to the right. And I guess people in California learned it's easier to stick stuck in traffic than to try and work your way 4 lanes over or 5 lanes over to get to the exit when you need to. Probably too many people missed their exit. So even though this lane was special, most people chose to ignore it. Most people chose to travel the slow road. That's the way it is with God. God says, I'm giving you this opportunity. Here's a lane that is for believers only. You come through my son, Jesus Christ. It's open to anyone. Anyone, it's clear. It's safe. I'm inviting you here. But people would rather stay in the slow, comfortable lanes than to follow Jesus Christ. But it's a highway of believers. Only believers can be there. Point number 4, Julie. It's a highway of praise. Highway of praise. The end of verse 10, it says, and they will come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I wonder, has anyone ever really experienced true praise in this life? Has anyone experienced what it really means to worship the Savior? I don't think we can fully understand the depth and the magnitude and the beauty and this real sense of all that comes in worshiping the Savior of the world. I've experienced a lot of great moments in worship and praise, not because I was singing, but because we really felt the presence of the Lord. But again, those of us who've been to Promise Keeper singing, 40,000 men lifting their voices to heaven, amazing. Been to some great concerts with great worship leaders and singers, and several times when I just couldn't even sing, I was just crying my eyes out, just thinking about Christ. I remember the first couple times I went to the Passion Play of Christ, when Word of Life would do it, and just seeing my Savior crucified and just hitting me, it was because of me that he's there. But I don't think we really understand what true worship is. I don't think we're next to the final point, Julie. What's going to be different in heaven? What's going to be different once we get to this highway of praise as we arrive in heaven? We're not going to be focused on ourselves at all. There's not going to be any selfish thoughts. There's not going to be any envy. There's not going to be any lust. And again, I'll be honest, when I go to a concert and I am focused on the Lord and I hear Michael W. Smith or Stephen Curtis Chapman or Chris Tomlin or any of the ones we've heard, I get a little envious thinking, I wish I had just a portion of their voice. You know, and then I find myself thinking that, and I've lost my focus off of God and the one I'm there for. And we're not going to have those envious thoughts. We're not going to be full of lust or hateful thoughts. We're going to be focused totally on Jesus Christ. What a great road to travel. Jesus says, I am the way. Are you on the highway today? Do you know that if you were to die right now, that you would spend eternity with Christ? Are you on this highway of holiness, this highway of praise, this highway of safety? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the highway that you've invited us on. Thank you for providing the way through your son. And Lord, I pray that we would walk this highway of praise, just praising you each day. And we look forward to eternity beginning when we can truly focus on Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who is not on that highway, or those who just got on Friday night who, for the first time, asked you into their hearts, that you would just show them how to grow and how to walk with you. Lord, as they discard this junk that they've been carrying, these obstacles, thank you that you came to seek and to save the lost, but you love us too much to leave us in the trash that we're in. Lord, help us also be ready to discard the stuff that's in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing, I let Annie know I didn't want to do communion this morning. There's always neat things about being a pastor. There's some pretty miserable things about being the pastor. This is one of those miserable things.